Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Thanks for listening to Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center. Doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the morning.
Man, those two really hate each other. That feud's like Biggie Tupac level. Maybe even Morgan Freeman, Shailene Woodley level.
With Dusty Hera.
I'm not hygienic. I don't wipe properly. I lack style.
And the man who accepted impermissible teriyaki benefits as a college All-American, Cam Cleland.
Why does anybody in the world ever eat anything but breakfast food?
People are idiots, Ron.
Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080 The Fan.
Hour number two, Dusty and Cam in the morning. Coming up this hour, all is not well in Iowa. The Pac-12 also has released their guidelines and protocols for the football season. But where we start, hour number two, we've got a little trouble in Buffalo. The Bills and Chiefs in Monday Day football played to a 26-17 final score, going the Chiefs' way in a rainstorm. That's like a monsoon, weird rain going on in old Buffalo.
You know why that happens, right? Isn't that crazy how the weather happens?
How rain happens? Buffalo?
No, no. How that weather shifts and how it's, you just get extreme weather
La
in Buffalo.
Nina.
No, everything comes off the water, comes off the lake, and all those it comes down from Canada. And we always wondered that because, you know, Buffalo just gets hammered with the weird and the extreme colds and the bad weathers and stuff like that. And it's just a brutal place to be.
I can say unequivocally, I've never wondered about Buffalo's weather.
Yeah. It's just everything blows from the north, right, comes off the over Great the Lakes, water, huh? Comes right over the water, cools, and it's awful.
Yeah, it seems like a miserable place. It kind of seems like, when I think of Buffalo, I think of like gray and dreary.
Well, we do live in the most gray and dreariest part of the world.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying that they don't think of us that way.
But it's extreme cold. Like, you get crazy weather changes.
Yep.
Anyway.
Well, Josh Allen sucked, too. He went 14 of 27, only 122 yards. Boy, that MVP train, that sure left the station early. And then it had a stop yesterday, and I don't think anybody's on that train anymore.
Well, there's not a lot of guys on the train, but I want to put two correlations together that I think that deserve a similar conversation. First of all, we saw one quarterback last night who was touted to be an MVP candidate, and I think he's very good. He came from Wyoming, and there's no discrediting a kid that's learning how, and he's a young adult, but he's learning how to play this game. He's learning how to win, but he hasn't got there yet, and that deserves a little bit of a fair conversation because you can't anoint somebody until they've been there. Now let's look at how good they were at the start. 4-0, they were really good, and then all of a sudden what happened? You faced a really good defense, a good running back, and then you faced the defending Super Bowl champions. Let's now flip over to the Cleveland Browns. Baker Mayfield is 10 of 18. They're like, oh, my God, we can't let this guy throw. We don't believe in it, but we're good. We're going to play within our merits. We're going to stay with the consistency. We're going to do the things that amplify our strengths. And the Bills felt the same way with their quarterback situation. Oh, how it happens so quickly when you face good teams or good franchises and you see them in situations when you need to win. Yes, they beat the Rams. They did beat the Rams. But how good are the Rams now after they looked pedestrian versus the throttled San Francisco 49ers? I don't know what the Rams are. I thought the Rams were pretty solid. And what the heck just happened? But what we see, and the reason why I use Baker Mayfield and Josh Allen, is that Baker has been given all these opportunities. Josh Allen is now in that same boat, is that we're such a hurry in media and everybody to anoint the next coming. These guys are good. Look how good they are. Look how good Josh Allen. Then Kansas City played a 78% C-plus game last night. That was their C-plus game. C-plus. And they whooped him.
How much of
and they
this,
whooped him 26-17.
How much of this is on Josh Allen, though, in that, you know, he can only he is a guy where his arm has carried them. We've known that. Right. They have got, but hold on, they have one of the worst rushing offenses in the league this year.
Okay.
He was their leading rusher yesterday.
Right.
In that game. He had 42 yards rushing. Like, this has been something that they haven't been able to do all year long. Mm-hmm. How much do we put on that onto Josh Allen as opposed to, look, Buffalo, you got to be able to run the ball in Buffalo. We were just talking about the weather.
It's a good point. Fair point. Okay. So I can reiterate this way. Let me go back to my conversation of why Josh Allen was being considered for MVP. MVPs do what to your team? They're the most valuable player. So to answer your question is, yes, it is on Josh Allen. So I can use it in this correlation of Russell Wilson. What does an MVP do to your team when it's pouring down rain? I don't know, like last week, 2 weeks ago, sorry. Pouring down rain, mm-hmm. Can't run the football. 94 yards. What does an MVP do? He elevates your team, finds ways to make. But don't tell me that's Diggs. I mean, DK Metcalf is good.
I was going to say plays the Vikings, not the Chiefs.
DK Metcalf is good. Okay. Hey, Justin.
DK Metcalf.
Justin Herbert went toe to toe with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Sure.
Justin Herbert looked better than Josh Allen versus the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't want to hear weather excuses. When you're an MVP, and Josh Allen might someday become one. I'm not saying that he's not. Pump the brakes on tough situations. Guys, if we're going to compare MVPs to real good quarterbacks, you have to look at who you're being compared to. Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Russell Wilson, Patrick Mahomes. When you need to make a play, he hasn't been able to make a play yet because he's not been in those scenarios over and over again, and he's not good enough yet. That is the difference, to answer your question, is MVPs, yes, it is on Josh Allen. You wear the big hat. You're the guy that touches the ball. You're supposed to make a play.
You don't think he made those plays in against the Rams and the Raiders, though? I mean,
How good are the Rams and the Raiders?
Well, I mean, it was down the stretch. And I think that is more of where they're at, though.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where they're at. And this is where it comes down
to. They're a good football team. Nobody's discrediting the Bills. They're good football
team. Here's the thing is that the difference between the contenders, like actual contenders and everybody else, that gap is wider than anybody wants to believe, because it really is. It's Pittsburgh, Tennessee, Kansas City, and then what? Seattle and Tampa right now in the NFC, in Green Bay. So you have six teams right now. There's 10 teams at the very bottom of this league that have one or fewer wins.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there is a gap. The gap between great teams and good teams is humongous.
Happens every year.
The gap between but here's the thing, is that gap usually isn't, it's as pronounced, where it's like Buffalo, you think that Buffalo has a chance, not getting beat 42-16 and then and then coming back the next week at home against Kansas City, losing by two scores. Like, we don't see it as that big of a gap, as Buffalo is considered one of the best teams in the AFC.
That's the issue, is that whoever was touting the Buffalo Bills, which I thought they were solid, but I never was sold on the fact, because they have no experience, never been to the playoffs in a deep playoff run. Yes, they went to the playoff last year, but that's not, you can't just suddenly be good. You don't get a chance to suddenly be good and say, look how good they are. We wanted Cleveland. We were anointing Cleveland 2 years ago. Look how good they are. No, they got their butt handed to them, to professionals, Ben Roethlisberger, Mike Tomlin, consistent, solid, been there before, veterans. Even in the NBA, veterans win. In the NFL, veterans win. Young, flashy, sexy, you know, Cliff Kingsbury in Arizona, whatever you want to say, how that looks. No, consistency, veteran leadership wins every single year. The separation in the NFL, we always get behind these teams. They look really good. I think Buffalo is a really good team. I think they're a good team. They're not great, and they're not elite. They're good.
I think what people were wanting was, they made it to the playoffs. They were 10-16 last year.
It's all
the
team.
They were looking for the next step, which is what
they're looking for. What Tennessee is doing.
I don't think people were anointing them, but Tennessee, it was also a progression there.
God bless Dan Orlovsky. He told us that Josh Allen was better than Russell Wilson in his breakdown. Josh Allen is a legitimate MVP candidate. MVPs don't look like that. They don't.
No.
They look like Russell Wilson and Patrick Mahomes. That's what they look like. Even Aaron Rodgers is out of the MVP conversation. MVPs don't look like that. They don't get whooped 38-10 on the road versus another guy who's 4,000 years old. They don't quit and go front runner. That's what Aaron Rodgers did. He went total quit.
So if, he did do that. And that's what, I mean, that's the thing is that, like, he went right off the bat. You could tell, don't got it today.
Derrick Henry's a legitimate MVP candidate. Like a legit MVP. That's what MVP candidates do. They make huge plays in big moments.
But this is where you go, all right, is it, you said Tennessee, like everybody wanted to anoint Buffalo this year, right? Mm-hmm. Tennessee did a stair step, though. Yeah, and it was like expectations continued to rise for this franchise.
Sure.
And Buffalo, I look at Buffalo very similarly to where we saw Tennessee a year ago.
I don't think they have the playmakers,
Tennessee won a playoff game.
Yeah.
Wait, you don't think Buffalo has the playmakers?
I don't think there is setup. I don't like their setup as much as I do now start to watch Tennessee and like what they're doing. I said Tennessee's offense was a plain cheese pizza with no sauce. Their offense is still average. They just have Derrick Henry. And Ryan Tannehill's playing. They play to their strengths very well. I don't know what Buffalo was doing last night.
Yeah.
They were putting the ball in Josh Allen's hands, and he couldn't perform.
Yeah.
Tannehill goes, hey, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to amplify my strengths.
Well, and they had the ability to do something that, or Kansas City had the ability to do something didn't.
Right.
They finally ran the football. I mean, Clyde Edwards,
a lot of carries for Clyde.
26 times for 161 yards. Yep. Mahomes had 10 carries for 36 yards. Daryl Williams had six carries for 26 yards and a touchdown. Like, they ran the football, and that is something that Buffalo, if they have weapons. I mean, John Brown, Stephon Diggs, Beasley's a great possession receiver. But if you look at it, they have not been able to run the football. They're 27th in the league in running the football. And Josh Allen was asked to be their leading rusher. And
We're asking Buffalo, and those that are asking about the next kind of newfound fun thing to talk about, because, you know, we got to have Derrick Rose win an MVP. I mean, Russell Westbrook's got to win an MVP. You got to have the new fun thing. But just like, Cleveland has tons of weapons. Where are they? What are they doing? Okay, I don't know. Arizona's got tons of weapons. They played pretty well last night. Dallas got tons of weapons. Okay, Pittsburgh's got tons of weapons. Tennessee, couple weapons. What's the separation factor between those teams and how you got to win a big game? You got to find a way to win in the moments, especially when you're going up against Patrick Mahomes. That Kansas City team, now that Le'Veon Bell, holy smokes. I mean, like I said, they played their C-plus game last night. C-plus.
What made it a C-plus?
Because the weather was bad. They couldn't optimize. They weren't playing at full tilt. Like, that wasn't a 98% game, because you'd play that indoor, you know, like a week 10 when you're all healthy coming off a bye week. You're just, everything's clicking. The run game, Le'Veon Bell's going to be hitting. That's an A-plus game when you're just pop, pop, pop. Every play's going, sacks everywhere. That was a bad, muddy, dirty game. If it was a grass field, it would have been just ugly. They had to win just basic football. They were just better. When they lined up against them, they were better from the start.
And that's 100%. The great teams and the good teams is a mile wide. And I think between the good teams and the bad teams, that is a mile wide too. There's some really bad teams in the NFL this year. Most of the NFC East, the Jets, the Bengals. Bengals are horrible. The Jaguars are a bad, bad football team.
Yeah.
I mean, Minnesota is a terrible team.
It's a trend. Atlanta. Right. It's not that it's
They're
a trend. Guys, this happens. It happens a lot more than we just get caught up in being a part of. I've been a part of bad teams, so I know. Or mentally you get locked in. But the NFL wants to be 8-8. They are built to be 8-8. But no matter how many times you try, you see it about maybe 4 or 5 teams or in the upper echelon, they can win a Super Bowl every year.
But
that leaves a lot out.
But there is, it's usually, you just said it, they built the league for 8-8.
Mm-hmm.
A third of the league has one or fewer wins. Yeah. Like, that ain't 8-8 football.
No.
It is starting to become the haves and have-nots across the league, where those really good teams are going to be winning 13 games.
Here's the biggest lie in sports for everybody at every level, from youth all the way up to professional. There's no such thing as parity. Don't ever try to get it. Don't build for it. Okay? There is no such thing as parity.
Pac-12 season starts in a couple of weeks. 6 games. Gonna be tough. Dusty and Cam on the Fan. All right, the Pac-12 gets underway in a couple of weeks. Big Ten football starts this weekend. Giddy up for the Big Ten. Are you excited about the Big Ten coming back?
Yeah, man, I'm looking for them. We're red on red here. Nebraska versus Ohio State, red on red.
Oh, yeah. Is Nebraska still bitching about the fact they have to play a tough schedule?
No. Taylor Martinez. Or is it Martinez?
Yeah.
Yeah, Martinez he's the starting quarterback for Nebraska. Mm. So let's go. Big red.
They are 27-point underdogs to Ohio State.
I can't wait to see Ohio State and Justin Fields. I can't wait to watch him. I mean, Joel Klatt's been telling us he's there. Oh, he and Ohio State's national champs. Crown him.
Mm. Crown their ass. They also have another good game, though, Michigan and Minnesota.
Yeah.
That'll be a good game.
Yeah, P.J. Fleck making more money than everyone else in the Pac-12.
If you surround yourself with turds, you're headed towards Turdville.
Did you know that P.J. Fleck makes more money than everybody in the Pac-12?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
That
Minnesota!
Sense.
Golden Gophers. Yep. Sorry.
Yeah, Tony Dungy went there.
That would piss me off if I was Coach Cristobal. Just saying. Anyway, Pac-12? Speaking of segues.
Do you think that pisses him off?
Yes, I do. Yes, because aren't you competitive? Well, no. Let me rephrase that question. Of course you're not, because you're not a head coach at a Pac-12 football team.
That's what makes you competitive.
No, but if you're in the business of being competitive with each other within your own industry, which I would be slightly competitive, wouldn't you want to make as much or more? How many Rose Bowls has... I don't know, P.J. Fleck been to? Zero.
Yeah.
How many Pac-12 championships has P.J. Fleck had? None. Yeah. How many top 5 recruiting classes has P.J. Fleck had? None. I would be irate. I'd be like, you paying that guy? By the way, wasn't P.J. Fleck up for the Oregon job? Talked about the Oregon job?
Bob Shell.
Yeah. So, yeah. I every morning I'd be putting P.J. Fleck's picture up.
That is something that I don't know if...
Michael Jordan created spiteful things to make him motivated. Don't act like everybody's happy in what they do to go to work. He's like, yeah, I have motivation. Everybody needs motivation some way, somehow.
Yeah, my question was just, is P.J. Fleck the motivation there, or is it within his own conference even? Because I would have looked at, as Cristobal, would be like, dude... I'm looking around the conference being like, I beat you before I look at P.J. Fleck and be like,
I think that would be down
to that guy.
You're right. But even at the line is that I'm looking at my adjacent conferences that are going up against. Remember, the Big 12 tells the Pac-12 what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So just like, FYI.
The Big 10. Yeah, the Big 10 does.
And the Big 12. But the Big 10 is the Pac-12's daddy and just pats you on the head and goes, okay, guys, it's time to play.
Rude.
And here's you can do things. And we're going to allow you to be part of our Rose Bowl conversation. That's fine. Here's what you do. And the Pac-12 goes, okay, that's what we do. All right.
Pac-12. What's the overall record in the Rose Bowl? Pac-12 versus Big 10.
Good question. It's a good question.
And then what has it been like the last 15, 20 years? I'd
so
really
Oregon,
like to know
who's
that.
The last Oregon USC. I can think of the big games I can remember. Oregon winning, USC beating Penn State.
Oregon has won a few.
Yeah,
USC has won a few. Stanford has not.
Stanford won.
Oh, they beat TCU.
Christian McCaffrey. TCU? No, that was Wisconsin. They won. They thumped them.
Wisconsin can't win a Rose Bowl.
Did they beat Iowa?
Or was that Iowa?
No, Stanford beat Iowa.
Iowa, yeah.
It was Iowa. Iowa.
Because
they're basically playing
the same brand of football.
Kind of.
Oh, yeah, Wisconsin, TCU. TCU beat Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Yikes. That was the Tank Carradine game.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Pac-12 has released its protocols and standards for playing a game. And this is kind of going to be tough to get 6 games in if you look around what's going on around the rest of the country. Because they have what the same standard the SEC and Big 12 have, which is the impacted institution. You have to have 53 scholarship players. But you have position minimums, right? And so this means that you have to have at least one quarterback, seven offensive linemen, four defensive linemen healthy. In order to play a game, at the minimum, you have to have that. But then you can have the, I mean, unless you don't really want, unless you want to play really bad, mm-hmm. then you can, mm-hmm. right? Which is what the Big 12 has. But we've already seen that that rule has led to the SEC and Big 12 having cancellations. So that rule is in place, okay? But then they added these ones on top of it. The inability to isolate new positive cases within a team or an athletic department to quarantine high-risk contacts. So I don't know why you wouldn't have an inability to isolate new positive cases.
Yeah, I don't know.
But an unavailability or inability to perform testing provided by the Pac-12, that'll get your game canceled. And then campus-wide or community transmission rates that are considered unsafe by local public health officials, so not even the conference. An inability to perform adequate contact tracing consistent with governmental requirements. Don't know why that would be an issue. Mm-hmm. But here is a big one. Local public health officials of the home team state that there is an inability for the hospital infrastructure to accommodate a surge. That's a big one.
Okay, why?
Because if the hospitals become overrun with their ICU, and you know that was the big concern, is not having enough beds, right? Then game off, right? I'm not kidding. After I read this article, I logged onto Twitter and I saw this tweet. And this is a quote from the tweet. University of Utah Hospital, overcapacity, unsustainable, coronavirus outbreak continues. The University of Utah Hospital is bringing in doctors and nurses for overtime shifts to staff new beds after its ICU reached more than 100% capacity. Like, it was right after I read that article, I logged on to Twitter and I saw that tweet, and it was right in front of me. University of Utah Hospital.
So let me understand this. So as you state that, because I think it deserves to get kind of a mental breakdown. If the beds are full, if there's not enough room, and we don't know what the exact numbers mean, 1, 2, 5, is it say, or just when they say at 80, what did you say? What percentage of capacity did you say?
They're over 100%
okay,
capacity.
So over 100, no, I'm saying what's the minimum for what the Pac-12 is saying?
It's just saying that local public health officials of the home state state that there's an inability for the hospital infrastructure to accommodate a surge.
So at
any
point,
which is where like Utah is right now.
So don't play football. Okay, all right. So it really doesn't even matter. According to that, it's very subjective. Like, it has to be the university hospital. I'm trying to be specific here. Is there not other hospital opportunities? Could you not set up another situation? This is specifically to university hospitals?
No, it's not.
Okay.
It's not. It's local public health officials.
Local.
From the home team state.
Okay.
Right? So... like if Utah were to come out, the state of Utah's public health officials are like, we can't accommodate a surge because we're over 100% capacity, then game off.
What is, okay.
And right now, Utah, the University of Utah is at that threshold right now. So like, it would be interesting to see, you know, obviously we're not here and in this time because they're 2 weeks away from playing. And as we know, a lot can change in 2 weeks, but is this a situation where, if Utah had a home game, they wouldn't be able to play this week. Like that, and that is where you sit there and you kind of go, uh-oh, this may make it very hard for the
because it wouldn't be up to them schools. Or any of the football people.
Yeah,
right?
No, then Utah and whoever they're playing could have zero cases on their roster, but with the way that rule states, I mean, that could be a cancellation or postponement of a game.
Yeah. Maybe it's a very subjective rule. I'm confused by it. I mean, I understand it, but I'm confused about how you measure it or what the thresholds are, what the minimums are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we put up billions of dollars of fake hospitals and never used them across our country, wasted amount of medical resources and never used it. These temporary tent hospitals, never use it, pulled military boats into port at New York, never used them. So I'm like going, all right, this just sounds like another cross the T, dot the I situation regarding legal protection for not being sued is what this sounds like. And if they end up calling a game off of because of inability to beds, that's just one less opportunity for the Pac-12 to play. And, okay, I guess you move on and deal with it.
Yeah. I mean, they have a lot that goes into it, from local public health officials, right, like we were just talking about, to campus-wide transmission rates that are considered unsafe. The Pac-12 is crossing their T's and dotting their I's on the safety aspect of it. They will not play games unless it is safe enough to play.
Sure.
also, one of the things that was discussed was the tiebreaker scenario, which with six games and not everybody playing the same number of games, that could get wild too. We could have the Pac-12 decided by a coin toss.
How far down the line was the coin toss?
That's sixth on this list.
Okay, six, yeah.
It's sixth on the list.
Let's pray it doesn't get to that.
It goes to head-to-head results, yeah. Record in games played within a division, yeah. Record against the next highest placed team, then the record of common conference games, and then the team with the highest college football playoff ranking, and then a coin toss, right? Okay. So it'll never, we're not going
to
have
it. You come down to the kickers?
No, we're not going to have a coin
toss. That's
too bad. Wait. A kickoff? You want to have the kickoff?
Yeah.
Let's do this.
I mean, if you're going to go coin flip, why not have kickers do it?
Let's do this. Who's got the best
kicker? I would rank kickers before the flip. I would rather have my kicker try to send me to a bowl game than have a coin toss.
Let's do like a Seinfeld feat of strength. I saw people propose last night that
that would be fun.
Cristobal and Whittingham are dominating.
No coaches. Players, feats of strength.
Last night, though, I saw that people suggesting that the Bills and Chiefs shouldn't have done a coin toss. They should have just let Mahomes and Allen stand at the goal line and throw it because both of them claim to be able to throw the ball over 80
yards. That would have been fun to watch.
They get to receive or defer.
They have a nice little rivalry. I don't know if they've ever talked about it to each other. But they've gone back and forth about who can throw a ball farther.
It always pops up on Twitter.
I like that.
Too bad we don't have the NFL challenge anymore, the quarterback challenge.
Well, it's coming back for the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, but those guys aren't going to do that.
Really?
Long toss, they're not going to do
that. Yeah, Mahomes is going to be in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they're not going to do that.
Well, he's going to be one of the three AFC teams in the Super Bowl this year.
All three. No NFC team will represent.
And then there's going to be the Chiefs, Titans, and Steelers playing a round robin to determine who wins the Super Bowl this year. Yeah. Hey, NFL's finished its investigation into the Titans' COVID outbreak. Get ready to CTC, but not as bad as I thought. Here's Buck. All right, 503-250-1080. That is the Fan text line. A little update here. I just saw this come across the line. This is from folks in Philly along the NFL lines. The offense of the Philadelphia Eagles, Carson Wentz is like the last man standing there. Their top three receivers, top two tight ends, six of their top seven offensive linemen, and their top running back are all injured.
Gone. Can't do anything with that. Here's Philly fan and here's everybody.
Dear God.
Dallas fan. Next man up. Dallas has way more weapons than Philly.
Well, I mean, let's not act like Philly's, you know, breaking the rails off this season here. They're 1-3-1. That tie, that 1-4-1 record, that may win them the division. A tie.
I'm not even justify that with a comment.
Obviously a tie, you know, a tie.
Well,
you know what's interesting, though? Next three games, Giants, Cowboys, Giants.
They could get right easily 3-0.
And then
watch the Giants win this division.
How much is that tie? You're saying the Giants get right?
No, I don't know. I mean, I'm still picking the Cowboys to win this division because their setup is best they're as veteran. They have the most talent left. But boy,
the Eagles could win that division.
No. If they're all hurt like that, I don't even know how they function. There's not enough players out there.
Well, they're doing it.
Yeah, they're going to do it. They're doing their best skin. He literally has. He has a spam sandwich, not a ham, a spam sandwich now.
Doug Peterson. Doug's a name of just. You ever made a dude met a dude that hasn't just been an awesome dude named Doug?
That's a good point.
That's solid one of those. Name. Yeah, it's one of those names where it's like you don't run into a lot of people named Doug.
Doug is a good dude name.
But
it's a great dude
when you run into a Doug, they're good dudes.
Yeah, they are.
I've never run into a Doug who's not a good dude.
Yeah, it's true.
Yep. Talking to all you Dougs out there. What about you, Buck? Buck has a look on his face that he's met like, a Doug a that he doesn't like.
Okay, so when I was 10 years old, there's a kid on my baseball team named Doug and another kid on my baseball team named Bill, and I thought it was really weird
that
at 10 years old that I had friends named Doug and Bill because they seemed like adult names when I was 10.
You didn't call him Billy?
So here's the funny thing about
Dougie.
Here's the funny thing about Billy is that his parents called him Billy, but when he went into kindergarten, he could not make that Y with the pencil. So he just dropped the Y and went for Bill because the Y was too tough.
Now you know what? That is so on brand for somebody who wants to go by the name Bill. It's just like an old curmudgeony man named Bill is like, nope, Y was too hard. I realized in kindergarten I wasn't a Billy, I'm a Bill. I'm not Will. I'm not William. So yeah, I'm not Billy.
He was Bill from about age five.
And that is what Bills do. At age five, you make that decision.
Bill's a great name. You have Bill, Billy, Will, William.
Yeah.
So many options.
Yeah, William is a diverse name. You can do whatever with it. You can really do a lot with it. But Doug and Bill, you don't see a lot of kids running around with
Doug and Bill on my team. I was like, this is odd.
Yeah. And at that point, was the opposing coach on every single Little League game asking for birth certificates, just being like, no.
Well, every baseball guy just adds an E to the end. That's what you're supposed to use. Dougie, Willie,
so were
Billy.
You Cammy?
Cammy. Yeah, no, that's what, not my name, but those types of names can finish well. He always adds a little E to the end. That's what baseball guys do.
I mean, Cammy doesn't sound like one that you'd want to roll with, though. You were the exception. You were the outlier on that one.
Yeah, we don't know. You don't put a Y at the end of my name.
Why? Why not? Why not Cammy?
That would... Why not? Because that's a feminine name? Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know many men that go by... I met a few Shannons that were men before. Like, Shannon, I know a few
Sharp.
Shannons. Yeah. Shannon's solid. Cammy, I don't know if that's going to stick very well.
Nah. It does. That just doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
But it could be like, one of those things, like a big guy named Tiny. You know?
Sure.
Hey, you want to meet my friend Cammy? And then you walk in the room and be like, whoa. Wasn't expecting that at all.
No.
All right, let's talk Titans. That's a manly name, Titans.
Yes, it is. Still a horrible logo, but a great
horrible logo. Mm-hmm. Why did
their uniforms have improved this year? They did. Nike's done a great job.
Yeah, they did.
But Titans
did a good job.
Are playing to their name because the biggest Titans is Derrick Henry.
Yeah, he is. He really is. That dude is. He's playing at MVP level right now, and it is amazing how they were able to rebound from not just like the COVID outbreak, but not playing for 16 days, very limited practice, and the ability to just like, that says a lot about Mike Vrabel, in my opinion, of him just saying zero, refocusing that team and getting them zeroed back in. Cause Bill Belichick had a problem doing it with New England. Right.
Right.
And now we're seeing,
Oh, no, I was just going to add on to what Cam was saying before. Baseball guys, they do put E on the end of stuff. They also put ER. You'd be Cammer.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
ER is another solid ER. Yeah.
That's a big hockey thing, too, I feel like.
ER is definitely E. Any Y or IE on baseball guys, but I forgot about the ER. The ERs are definitely a baseball.
Yeah, because since mine ends with the Y, I was Duster. I got Duster a lot. So you throw on the ER on that. Okay, back to Titans. They did a really good job with that COVID shutdown that they had. And now we're kind of finding the NFL wrapped up their investigation of the league or into the Titans. And they said there was a definite lack of communication as to whether or not the players could or could not practice. There were some mask violations, but what the league is concluding, according to multiple outlets reporting the exact same thing, is that they're only going to get a fine, but it's probably going to be a substantial fine from the NFL. But not ripping draft picks or forfeiting
games. Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport and Mike Florio were tweeting this was going to be the most epic fine the NFL has ever done. Catastrophic fine. It's going to be something we've never seen before. And what's it going to be? Once you do the investigation and look at that, what were you going to do to the Tennessee Titans? I'm looking at it from a perspective of, do we really think the Tennessee Titans were just not doing, were trying to break every rule, or the protocols were in place, the cameras were in place, every league had the testing systems. Immediately everybody jumped on board. They practiced at a local high school. They were breaking the rule.
Well, they did do that.
I know, but I'm trying to think, these guys they wouldn't risk their entire season, their paychecks, their all this stuff. They wouldn't do that. They just wouldn't do it.
Well, that's why they're going to get hit with failure to communicate with those players, though, isn't it? Because they're like, you guys, franchise, we know you are supposed to tell them. That was the biggest thing was like, how in the hell were the Titans players not aware that you couldn't practice when your facility is shut down?
Right. Communication.
And that could be, I have no idea what this fine's going to be, but I mean, it could be historic, but I don't see it being more than... Shoot, Deflategate. It's got to be more than not wearing a mask on the field, right? Because that was, what, $250,000 for each team?
By the way, did you see Andrew Reid last night? How many times he took his what do we call that, windshield off?
It was back to fogged up. It's not doing well in the rain.
No, he needs
wipers.
Yeah.
Can we get him wipers? Is that too much to ask for Andy?
I don't know.
But he might need a different setup for the wet weather games because when it gets soggy out there, that thing, it's not like a bad car windshield.
A lot of those guys were wearing it. See, Mike Zimmer wore it.
Matt Rhule
also wore the windshield.
Yeah. It's a weird look.
It's weird. I would personally rather go with the mask. I don't know how they do that.
You know what that reminds me of? Viv Stiviano. Do you remember that name?
Oh, the Donald Sterling mistress.
Yeah.
V Stiviano.
Yeah, V Stiviano. Remember she used to wear that stupid mask everywhere and it was like that's how the paparazzi knew who she was, is because like I don't think anybody could have picked her out of a lineup, but she wore that stupid visor thing everywhere.
See, I'm picturing I'm with you on that. I'm picturing four old guys and a couple old ladies in Florida at the Florida park playing checkers with those stupid colored visors on.
That's right.
That's what I'm picturing.
Wanna go down and play some shuffleboard?
The old school casino dealer look.
We're playing bridge.
All right. All is not well in Iowa. It's about to get dirty between the Hawkeyes and a few former players. Dustin Cam on the Fan. It disappeared with time and never made much sense. 503-250-1080. That is the Fan text line. Coming up at the next hour, we'll have some World Series chatter. And how do you fix the Dallas Cowboys? 503-250-1080.
We do have some more name comments coming in. This person says, Doug is a fishing, cigar-smoking president of the local Lions Club kind of a guy.
Yeah, that's 100%. That's what Doug is.
And then we also have a comments on the name Bill. My stepfather and stepbrother are both Bills. They answer to Bill or Billy. The younger one didn't like William or Willie, so now we've just taken to calling him Walter.
Oh. Where the hell did Walter come from?
They just... Two of the Bills were all about it, and one of them wasn't. So, other way completely, I guess.
Dang. All right. Well, Walter. Walt's a solid name. Oh, Walt. Okay. All is not well in Iowa right now. The University of Iowa has rejected a lawsuit, and they said we respectfully decline. After eight former players of the Iowa football program... asked for the resignation of Gary Barta, the athletic director, Kirk Ferentz, the head football coach, offensive line coach Brian Ferentz, and $20 million.
Wow. $20 million.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
$20 million.
Uh-huh. All right. What happened was, is that this comes out, remember over the summer? Now, I don't know exactly the eight players that are in this. I'm not sure what their roles or actions were in the, remember the strength and conditioning coach got fired there over racial, insensitive remarks.
He had been there 20 years. Right.
And then, Brian Ferentz had been drawn into those conversations, who was still retained as offensive online coach and coordinator.
Sure.
And then Kirk Ferentz was also, saddled with, obviously, as the leader of the program, having that culture be a part of his program. And so they want all those guys fired. I don't know kind of where the lawsuit came from, though, in this and where the lawyer came in.
You don't know where the lawsuit came from. I can tell you where the lawsuit came from. A lawyer looking for a money grab. 40% of $20 million to 45% of the fee of $20 million is a lot of money. And what you do is you chase down these types of situations. Now, I've talked with some friends that have played for Iowa in the past, and I've also done a little bit of reading into this and looking at this. Nobody deserves $20 million for being outraged. Okay, that's a crazy lawsuit jumped on by lawyers. Is there something going on at Iowa from how it sets, from what it is? If there be realistic here, if there was something completely off the cuff and it was so bad and so brutal, those guys would be all gutted. That university president, that place would be gutted. I think that's fair to say. There's no way you would still be employed or looking in that situation, that scenario. We saw what happened at Baylor. My goodness. You don't sit around and wait like that. Okay. So Iowa's got some things going on. We got a lot of stuff that is happening with Iowa. And truthfully, Kurt Ferentz, from what he's doing, from what he said publicly, the guy is wanting to do something differently and change whatever it is, the perception of his players. We know if you work in a business, you can't make everybody happy. And that's really what I was trying to figure out, is that what is it exactly these players are wanting by putting a $20 million lawsuit? Because their statement is $10 million for us, arbitrary $10 million, and $10 million set up in a fund.
And this is where I don't know kind of what they're at. What they're asking for, $10 million for the eight players, right?
Right.
That are proposing right. this for the loss of earning capacity, loss of professional opportunities, defamation, pain and suffering, mental conditions, mental anguish, PTSD, humiliation, and overall emotional distress that their clients have incurred. The other $10 million is for athletes, not including the eight players, to compensate them for the discrimination and ongoing severe and pervasive acts that constitute intentional discrimination, where defendants intended to treat African Americans differently. The law firm that they hired to do this found that the strength coach, in particular, who was fired, by the way,
and got a $1.1 million got a leave away fee.
Yeah, got a severance package from the school. They found that, and this is according to ESPN's ESPN.com. It says that there were cultural problems that were systemic. After interviews with 111 current and former players and employees of Iowa mm-hmm. football, mm-hmm. so there was an issue there that was found by the lawyers, and I think what these guys are asking for is, you know, the $20 million is that starting point, right? But I think what they really want is Kirk Ferentz, Brian Ferentz, and the AD gone.
They want them all fired.
That sounds like where, you know, they're asking for that, but they're willing to get rid of a lot of it if those three individuals are gone from the athletic department at Iowa. And that is where it gets really hairy here, because look, these eight players, two of them are recent players. Uh-huh. You know, one of the program's all-time leading receivers and one of the program's right. all-time leading
rushers.
What about
the majority of players that are happy, have had good experiences there?
I mean, they're
not standing up and talking because are they not feeling comfortable enough to defend? What about the players that are currently in the program
yeah.
that are fighting, getting ready to play their season? They're like, look, we're getting ready to play our season. You're trying to take away and destroy everything that we're trying to work for. And these guys are now, are you standing up for all? It's not like this is a massive class action suit with 40,000 former players from the last 20 years Kurt Ferentz has been there. Where are all those people? So I'm like, okay, there's a lot to take in here and a lot of things that can look bad from the start, from the get-go. So before we jump to conclusions and say someone's guilty or someone's not, $20 million sounds absolutely like an ambulance chaser
well,
to me.
And that very may well be, you know, and I don't know. This is how the lawyers and the courts are going to sort this thing out. I don't think there's any way that they get $20 million out of this thing.
They threatened them. They said the lawyer threatened him. Said, if you don't give us our $20 million, we will file a lawsuit. What does that sound like?
They're going to file a lawsuit. But there's these eight guys out of the 111. This may just be eight guys that are looking for money out of it, but they want to set up the $10 million. There is, though, Ed Miles, who played in the NFL, former Iowa Hawkeye, he on the other side of this said, enough is enough. While I'm in no position to comment on any other player's experiences at the University of Iowa, I can comment on mine and the people and coaches that surrounded me. I witnessed no racial biases from Coach Ferentz's program. I've been yelled at like my white teammate. You may call it abuse, but I call it hard coaching and being held accountable to what's expected. The Ferentz I know is not the person who former players are describing. He is not a racist. He is always willing to make time for former players. One of the reasons why I love the program is because how they treat former players when we are back in town. If I need something, I'm sure they would do everything in their power to help me. One of the main reasons why I came to Iowa was my relationship with Coach Phil Parker, and it also made me comfortable with so many guys around being from Florida. I have not witnessed anyone discussing being mistreated because of their color. So, you know, there is another side to, you know, what's going on with these eight players that are suing.
Sure.
But out of the 111, this is where it kind of gets like apparently it wasn't happening to everybody on there. Obviously, Ed Miles is going, no, it didn't happen to me, man. And there's 111 interviews that they did, that law firm that said, hey, we did find something. There was a systemic problem within the culture mm-hmm. of the program. And these eight players say, well, we want Ferentz fired because of it.
Right.
If Iowa didn't fire Kirk Ferentz after the law firm's review.
Yeah, I'm just,
a public university grab. Tells me, like something tells grab. Me the era that we're in right now with yeah. knowing what will no come question. Out. They would have fired him if this was something.
Absolutely,
close.
They would have. There's no patience for that at all whatsoever. There's no way you can't get away from that.
But if they didn't, it could get a lot uglier for the University of Iowa moving forward. Mm-hmm. If they know that there is something there that.
Think of the things that happened at Michigan State. Mm-hmm. And like I use the term Baylor.
Penn State.
What that ridiculous. Was like. Ridiculous.
But that doesn't, yeah.
Doesn't even, and this is, and here we are with Iowa State going.
Or Iowa.
I'm sorry, yeah. Iowa, not Matt Campbell. My bad, mm. not Matt Campbell, but Iowa with Kurt Ferentz. Here we are.
Yeah, well, I mean,
Big Ten football's back this weekend.
Yeah, the strength coach was fired because of it.
He was.
I mean, and there were allegations against his son Brian Ferentz, who's right. on the staff, and not much came out of those. So, I mean, one guy did lose his job, and mm-hmm. I don't really know enough like
a whole
about
staff,
what Brian
Ferentz said. A whole staff. And almost an entire staff at Ohio State, including Urban Meyer, was all gutted because of one bad apple
mm-hmm.
like that. One yeah. bad apple that you weren't, that you maybe you weren't watching after, maybe you weren't doing it. There's no excuses when we say one bad apple can take down the entire ship. And that's to poke holes in it.
For
so
sure.
a little thumbtack there. So that's what we're looking for in seeing this. This to me immediately, this isn't an investigation. This was a blatant straight, if you don't give us our money, we're suing you.
Yeah.
That's exactly what their lawyer said. I just, yeah.
Well, I mean.
It's an ambulance chaser is what that is.
Mm. Kershaw takes the hill for the Dodgers tonight. He's got the defense behind him and the lineup to support him. Can he get it done yet? Dustin Cam on the Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.